Welcome to Kodampa Podcasts. These podcasts offer practical solutions to daily challenges and help guide us to a happier and more peaceful state of mind. In each episode, you will find an extract from a teaching given by one of various Kodampa Buddhist teachers worldwide. All these teachings are inspired by the profound wisdom of Venerable Geshe Kalsang Gyatso Rinpoche, a Buddhist master for our time. We hope you enjoy listening.
And then let's look at then how, we've touched on this a little bit, but how an uncontrolled mind is responding to problems and in issues so that we can really recognise why it doesn't work. So I mentioned that an uncontrolled mind lacks perspective, and that means it becomes too closely involved with the problem, like we become stuck. But there's a reason that's happening. And these are to do with the sort of functions of our minds, which at the moment are not controlled, maybe. But we can use those same functions, but in a controlled way. And so we've already got the tools we need. We just need to use them differently. So when we're trying to resolve difficulty, we focus on particular qualities within that situation. And the function of our mind that we're using is attention. Attention focuses on particular attributes or qualities of something. It focuses and then it fixes on them. So there's a function of our mind that's fixing on something. And it's really worth looking at this and thinking, what qualities of this situation am I fixing on? Are they positive or negative, or maybe they're neutral? But everything has many different characteristics and qualities, and what we choose to focus on makes all the difference. So an uncontrolled mind is not doing this in a controlled way. It's just fixing, dwelling. But our attention can fix and dwell, or sort of stay and circulate around negative qualities. And it can also exaggerate and amplify qualities. So our attention will focus and fix, but sometimes our attention exaggerates qualities. And if it exaggerates the negative qualities, and problems generally have negative qualities, otherwise we wouldn't see them as problems. If we pay attention to the negative qualities of something and we exaggerate those negative qualities, we get a distorted version of that situation. And so in Buddhism, we call this inappropriate attention, attention that's not appropriate. It's not balanced. It's not a balanced mind. We can see it's not controlled. And it's not balanced because it's not able to see all the different qualities and characteristics. It's just zooming in on selection, and then it's exaggerating those, which is creating a distorted version. And so if we continue to do this and we think like this, our mind becomes tight and it can become agitated. Then if we're just zooming in on faults, we get an agitated mind, which then becomes frustrated. So we can see how an uncontrolled mind, it creates a version of just an unfolding of events that then becomes something we get agitated with. The other thing that happens is that as well as our attention focusing and dwelling and exaggerating, we also find it difficult to forget. So if we didn't find it difficult to forget, we wouldn't be overthinking. We'd just be thinking. But because we're not able to forget, we kind of keep going. And the function of our mind that's not forgetting is called mindfulness. Mindfulness functions not to forget its object. So we can be mindful of our problem not forgetting our problem and paying attention to the negative qualities within that situation. And so if we continue to stew in this way, our mind becomes agitated, unpeaceful, uncontrolled. And this unpeaceful, uncontrolled mind that comes from inappropriate attention is called delusion in Buddhism, mental distortions that are out of touch with the reality of what that situation is. So the good news is that those two functions of our mind are called mental factors, but attention and mindfulness, when harnessed by a meditator, are tools that shape peace. So if we pay attention to other qualities, like good qualities, and it's hard to see what those are in a problem, I know, but a problem also provides an opportunity for us to maybe grow or develop. We can choose to find qualities in anything that might stimulate peace. And so if we decide to pay attention to those qualities, positive qualities, and if we're mindful of those qualities, so if we don't forget those positive qualities, then as we're contemplating what previously was a problem, it now becomes something that's stimulating peace in our mind, you know, growth, inner development, maybe. We think this is an opportunity for inner growth or development. And when we're using the same attention and mindfulness that we're using with an uncontrolled mind, but now we're using it with a controlled mind. So it can be helpful to try to just identify attention, like what am I focusing on? Can just ask ourselves that question, what am I focusing on? And what am I finding it hard to forget? What am I mindful of? And then try to recognize if those are negative qualities, or there's some, if our mind feels unpeaceful, but it's not controlled, then it's likely to be inappropriate attention and mindfulness that's not helping us. But we can take those same tools and just apply them from a meditator's perspective. So if you imagine, you know, a sculptor would use the tools of a chisel and a hammer, and in the hands of a sculptor, those two tools are going to shape something beautiful, you know, so a slab of stone or marble in the hands of someone who can use that hammer and chisel with skill can be shaped into something that's beautiful. But if you put that hint in the hands of someone like me, or maybe you if you're not a sculptor, the more we work at that, the worse it's going to get, you know, and in the end, you just look at it and think that's total mess. And so, you know, in the mind of someone who's not in control, and we don't have control of our mind, attention and mindfulness can cause, you know, discomfort. But in a controlled mind, when we use them like a meditator uses them, those same ways of thinking can become so helpful. So it's worth thinking about the relationship between attachment and mindfulness, and how then that creates our feeling around whether something becomes more difficult or whether it becomes easier. But then I also mentioned that we would look at a framework that we can use to try to restrict our thinking, because when we overthink, it's very loose and wild, and it seems like anything can happen. Things can unravel quite easily in an uncontrolled mind. So it's really helpful to try to create a boundary in terms of how we think, so that we don't allow ourselves to go outside of that way of thinking. And eventually, as we create these boundaries around our thoughts, so we use discipline, we discipline our mind. As we do this, it starts to then become our new habit, because we're, first of all, just kind of making ourselves think in a in a helpful, more restrictive way with some boundaries. But eventually that becomes habit. So then we just find we naturally follow these meditative ways of thinking. And so things don't build up like they do when our mind is sort of just loose and out of control. So we often don't supervise our mind. We don't sort of supervise our thoughts. Often we don't really know what we're thinking. And so it's not surprising that we can overthink so easily because we're not really aware of what we're thinking a lot of the time. But when we start to identify how our mind works in the ways that we've been talking about, then we can see these things building up in advance. So I mentioned that the series is called Take 5 Minutes. And so I'm going to explain what this framework is that we're going to use. But then we're going to spend 5 minutes meditating on this framework and getting the hang of it. And then over the week, what you can do is where you find 5 minutes or try to make 5 minutes in your day to just go back over this this contemplation. And you should find that it will just contain that thinking in a really helpful way. It's very, very practical. So this framework comes from 8th century meditation master Shantideva, who wrote a text called Guide to the Bodhisattva's Way of Life. And it's in this book, How to Solve Our Human Problems, which is written by meditation master Venerable Geshe Kelsang Gyatso Rinpoche. And this book, How to Solve Our Human Problems, is a commentary to Buddha's teaching on the Four Noble Truths. It's very practical and just aimed at modern people like us who are trying to solve our human problems, trying to find solutions. But here anyway, this framework, so we just work through this with our mind. This is the boundary that we place. When we apply this to our problem, we think, if something can be remedied, why be unhappy about it? If something can be remedied, why be unhappy about it? And if there is no remedy for it, there is still no point in being unhappy. And if there is no remedy for it, there is still no point in being unhappy. Okay, so when we contemplate our problem and we know our attention is, you know, focusing, and we know that our mindfulness is not forgetting, so then what we need to do is put some boundary in our mind, a framework we're going to use, and we're just going to work this through. So can this situation be remedied? Can it be remedied? And if it can be remedied, then we don't need to be unhappy about it. And we could say we don't need to think about it much more because there's a solution. So that's like quite a quick bit of thinking. Like, can this be remedied? Yes. Okay, great. I'll get on with my day then, you know? Imagine that. It's like the opposite of overthinking. It's like underthinking almost. Just minimal thought needed. But it's controlled thinking, isn't it? So we've kind of sussed it out in this little framework. And then we can just let it go. And then if there is no remedy for it, and this is the bit we don't want, there's no remedy, then there's still no point in being unhappy. And Venerable Geshe says here, if there is a way to remedy an unpleasant, difficult situation, what point is there in being unhappy? On the other hand, if it is completely impossible to remedy the situation or to fulfill our wishes, there is still no reason to get upset, for how will our becoming unhappy help? This line of reasoning is very useful. We can apply it to any situation. Okay, so I mentioned at the beginning that when we overthink, we're trying to resolve something, we're trying to think our way out of it, but it's not controlled. So there's no framework that we're using. We're just thinking and thinking and thinking. But here, we're putting this into this container, this boundary, if it can be remedied, we're all good. Don't need to worry about it. Don't need to become unhappy about it. Don't need to think about it any more excessively. But if there is no remedy for it, then being unhappy about it isn't helping me. And maybe thinking about it more and more and more isn't helping me. It's not resolving anything because this can't be resolved. So then we can put our energy into keeping a peaceful mind. And because our energy's gone into keeping a peaceful mind, we can meet that unresolvable situation with a level of inner stability and peace. Whereas otherwise, if we don't stay within this framework and we've just got this uncontrolled mind, then we're focusing on negative characteristics of the situation that we can't resolve and becoming agitated. So the longer we're in that situation, the more agitated we become, but we can't resolve it. So we're just in this agitated state for as long as that situation continues. Why? You know, it's not necessary to stay unhappy. It's just a habit.
If you feel inspired by this podcast, then dive deeper into timeless wisdom of modern Kadampa Buddhism by following the link in the episode description. We look forward to reconnecting with you in the next episode of Kadampa Podcasts.